Good morning. Today's daf from Sota Chav Dalet. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is only zechun es masliba gavrila bashmuel. Today we begin the fourth parak of the Masechta. Quick reminder of what we learned from day one of the Masechta. How did the Sota get to where she's at? So the answer is kinu and stira. She's talking with a man. Her husband's noticing it, and the husband's not happy with the current situation. So he gives her a kinu. He warns her, and he tells her not to seclude herself with that. She should not seclude herself with that man. Despite the husband's warning, the warning is done in front of two witnesses. Despite the husband's warning, she is so serious. She secludes herself with that man. So we learned in the beginning of the Masech that at that point in time, now she's a sota, and that's a status. It's not just a. It's not just a suffix, but it is a suffix. But it's an actual status change. Where now, from this point going forward, she's a surah to her husband. She cannot be with her husband anymore. And there's only one way to resolve the issue, and that is go to the Beit HaMikdash and drink the Mei Sota. And the Mei Sota will clarify what happened. But from this point going forward, in other words, after the kino and after the stira, so that's it. She's now a sota, and not indefinitely. It's not an Isser Olam, but it's an Isser. And it can only be resolved by the drinking of the mesota. If there's no mesota to drink, so then there will be no resolution. In fact, if you remember, we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, I think Daf Gimel, where the Gemara there said that nowadays a husband shouldn't do kinu and stira to his wife. Because nowadays we don't have a base of mekdash. So now if a man is mekane his wife and she's so serious, so now from that point going forward, now she has the status of a sota. And at that point in time, there is no resolution. Okay, I try to make this point clear because, as we'll see now in our Mishnah, we're going to learn together that kinu and stira is not necessarily tied to the mesota, meaning that kinu and stira will affect an isser, and whether she does or does not drink the mesota, her status is going to be affected. Okay, with that in mind, let's start our the Mishnah, the new parak. Fourth parak is a short parak. We'll be here for just a couple of days in daf terminology. The Mishnah starts off.
That means
that the only thing now that's going to happen is divorce.
Uh-huh.
It's the only thing that can happen.
Then getting back to the...
No, they can't. Right. When I say no resolution, I mean they can't get back together again.
Okay.
But in other words, but they're still married, and the marriage has to be terminated, so it can be terminated one of two ways, either his death or divorce. I'm sure he prefer divorce. Okay, but... Huh? Yeah, it'll work. No, it's definitely effective. But I'm saying, you know, given the choice, I'm sure he would opt with divorce. The Mishnah starts off Arusa v'Shomeres Yavam lo shosos v'lo nolos k'suva. So if I have either an Arusa or a Shomeres Yavam, so they are partially married. Now let's go over each one. An Arusa, that's the first stage of marriage. We've discussed this time and again, right? As we're learning Seder Nashim, it should be now basic, which is that there are two stages of marriage. But the first stage of marriage is Erusin, meaning that she and he are married. They're husband and wife. However, with no responsibility. In other words, he does not have financial responsibility and they do not live together. In fact, there's an issur d'rabbanan for them to have relations with one another. But during Erusin, during this period of Erusin, they're married in the first stage of marriage. But that's marriage. Now, during Erusin, she is with a man, she's with another man, and her Arus is noticing, and he says, don't be with that man. And then on top of that, she's so serious, she secludes herself with that man. And again, I should have pointed this out in the beginning, both have to be done in front of two witnesses. That's the machlokus in day one of the Masechta, but let's just say kihilchasa, that both the kino and the steer have to be done in front of two witnesses. So the and so this all happened during Erusin. So the Mishnah says she's not going to drink the Mesota. And the Mishnah says, and she's not going to receive Ksuva. And I'll get to the Shomeres Yavam in just a moment. Now, let's think about what the Mishnah is really saying. What the Mishnah is really saying is, the Kinui worked. The Stira worked. Now, she's Asura. His Arusa now is Asur to him. Now, granted, she already is Asur to him, but... Not meaning, yes, that's true, but that is a din derabanan that they are not allowed to have relations with one another until nisuin. But in other words, for all intents and purposes, they're married. Now that the kinui worked and the stira worked, now she's asura, and on top of that, she's not going to drink the mesota. So here we now have come to a situation where we've created an Isser. We didn't do anything. But the Isser was created, and on top of that, she's not going to drink the Mesota, and consequently, once again, now there's not going to be a resolution. Now the Isser is an Isser Olam, and the only avenue of going forward is going to be either death or divorce. No, let's go with divorce. Okay, so that is the Arusa. Now, it's also interesting, as I should point out, as long as we're here on the Arusa, it says, and she forfeits her ksuva as well. She forfeits her ksuva because she didn't behave properly. Now, let's ask the question. What ksuva? Right, correct. In other words, the ksuva only kicks in at the point of nisuin, not at erusin. So over here, so the Rishonim already bothered by it. Rashi doesn't say anything about this, but the Rishonim already bothered her by it. And the Rishonim simply say, we can construct scenarios of where, in fact, she's going to get a ksuva. In certain communities, the minhag was to give a base ksuva at the point of erusin, and the tosef was added at nisuin. Okay, in other words, it can come out that she can have a ksuva even during the point of erusin. But I guess the Mishnah's larger point is that really this, the deterioration or the failure of this marriage is hers, is her fault, and because it's her fault, so therefore she forfeits her ksuva. Shomer's Yavam. Now, let's go over the second case of the Mishnah. The Shomer's Yavam is now a scenario where she was married to the brother. The brother died. She died childless. And now she awaits the mitzvah of Yibum. Meaning her brother-in-law now has a mitzvah of Yibum. And once again, we're now going to be discussing the same issue. Which is that while she's a Shomer's Yavam, she's talking to another man, spending a little too much time with this other man. And not her husband, but her Yavam. Which, again, we could put under the category of quasi-husband, right? They're semi-married, so the husband now is going to look at her, not the husband, the Yavam now is going to look at her and say, what are you doing? I don't want you talking to that man, I don't want you secluding with that man. And then she goes ahead and she violates the warning, she secludes. So once again, the Mishnah says the same result is going to happen. The Kinui, effective. The Stira, effective. Now she is a Sota. She has the status of a Sota. And for reasons which we're going to explain in the Gemara, although the Mishnah just says it, and that is, there's no option of drinking. Once there's no option of drinking, so now we've entered into a situation where there's an issur with no resolution. So once again, this is not going to result in a marriage. Now, I'd say divorce over here, but she's a Shomer's Yavam. It's not going to be a divorce, it's going to be a chalitza. But still, the point is, it's not going to result in a marriage. And furthermore, says the Mishnah, she also forfeits her ksuva as well. Let's just deal with the facts on the ground and all the permutations you can ask me later. But just right now, let's just get the facts down. Arutz v'shamer yavam. So I'm rereading the beginning of the Mishnah. Arutz v'shamer yavam lo shosuf lo notlus ksuva shenamar asher tishte isha tachas isha. Asher tishte isha tachas isha. She deviated while being a isha. The wife deviated while being isha. Isha with a mapikay means isha la. Meaning the wife, in order to be able to drink the mesota, so you have to be a full-fledged wife. Okay. Prat la'arusa v'shamaris yavam, that excludes arusa and shamaris yavam. Now you'll notice in the Gemara, it's going to be the first discussion in the Gemara, you notice that she was excluded, but not totally excluded. And when I say not totally excluded, what do I mean by that? Meaning, he could be mekane her, he can warn her, that works. The stira, that's effective, that changes her status. The only miut, the only exclusion, is from her ability to drink the water. So really, it's a limited exclusion, and the Gemara's going to wonder, and we're going to discuss it as we get to the Gemara, why, if we're excluding her, if the Torah says that this parsha of sota is only for your full wife, so why over here is the Shomer's Yavam, the Arusa, only partially excluded? Why are they not totally excluded? Stay tuned. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. Amar l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedja. And here we get to the parts of the Mishnah which we hear again and again. The Mishnah is just simply giving examples of illicit marriages. Marriages that should not have happened, but happened. So, kohen gadol married a widow. The kohen hedja married either grusha v'chalutza. Okay, both kohanim should not have done that, but they did. Mamzeres or Nestina Yisrael, a Jew married either a female mamzeres. I mean, that's what a mamzeres is by definition, or Nestina. Nestina, one of the Givonim, right? There's a band. There was a gzera that you're not allowed to marry them. Okay, I'm gonna bypass the history lesson for now. Anyway, she's a surah just for our purposes. She's a surah to marry the Yisrael, and again, he did so anyway. Bas Yisrael the mamzeres Nestina, and it works the other way around. In other words, she was fit, but she chose for her partner in life either a mamzer and a sin. So in these cases, the marriages are unlawful marriages. Now the marriages work, and again, this goes back to a point which we see time and again throughout Seder Nashim. The marriages work because even though it's a violation of a law, it's only a violation of a law. Meaning marriages take effect by chayve lavin. If it's chayve krisus, so then the marriage will not take effect at all. But we're not talking about chayve krisus. We're talking merely about a lav, and therefore the marriages do take effect. But because it's an unlawful marriage, therefore, says the Mishnah, lo shosus v'lo no lo ksuva. In these cases, she doesn't drink, and she doesn't. She's not entitled to ksuva once this marriage now is terminating, and it's going to terminate because again, we now have a status of iser because there was kinuin, there was stira. So we now have a status of iser, but now with no resolution. The mesota, she can't drink the mesota. So what's the only way out? Divorce. And she's going to forfeit a ksuva. Now let's ask the question. And why not? Why not shtia? I mean, we kind of already know the answer. The answer is kind of intuitive, but let's spell it out. So Rashi over here writes, the second Rashi on Chavdal Amad Aleph. So Rashi writes, lo shosos de lo nemra parsha ela beru'uya lekaima. This is the theme that Rashi is going to say again and again. Because the parsha of Sota is that she is only going to drink the water and resolve their marriage and bring them back together again, but only if it's Ru'i L'Kaima. Only if it's a sanctioned marriage. Meaning the parsha of Sota wasn't there, put in place, so that they could reunite only to perpetuate an Isser. They shouldn't have gotten married to begin with. They violated a law of getting married. And now she's going to drink the water, and we're going to reunite, and we're going to bring back together a husband and wife who shouldn't be together because of a law. Rashi says, that's not right. That's why there's no shtia. So Rashi says, "Delo nemra parsha ela beru'i l'kaima. V'achi tanya b'stifri. Kisi steishto beru'i l'isha t'kaz medaber. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Ru'i l'kaima. Now, is this idea of Rashi... I'm sorry, Danny, go ahead.
So I understand a full-fledged sota, a real sota, not a shomer yavan, when she drinks, it includes that period of time that she wasn't mizane during shomer yavan.
Okay.
So why is that okay? In other words, she can't drink when she is violating the shomer yavan. When she drinks the imei sota, it includes that. Punishment.
Right, but the Mishnah's focus right now. Okay, I think I understand. The Mishnah's focus right now is just saying which women can we create the Isser Sota, but with the inability to drink the Mesota. That's really what the Mishnah's focus on. And then as an addendum, the Mishnah also adds, and when does she either forfeit a ksuva or not forfeit a ksuva? Okay, that's really the focus of the Mishnah. This idea that Rashi employs, the Ein Ru'i L'Kaima, okay, is this a Din D'Oraisa or is it a Din D'Rabbanan? Meaning, we all understand the basic idea, right? It's not right. In other words, you're going to drink the Mesota only to bring them back together again when they shouldn't be back together again? It's not right. But when we say it's not right, meaning, is that the Torah saying it's not right? Meaning, is this exclusion a Torah exclusion? Or no? Is it the Chachamim stepped in? The Chachamim said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to have the Mesota. We're not going to have them drink the Mesota only to reunite two people who should not be together to begin with. It's a Gzera de Rabbanan that prevents her from drinking the Mesota. So I'll show you Rashi later on, where it seems from Rashi that this is a Din de Rabbanan, not a Din d'Oraisa. Okay, I'll mention it. The Rambam, when he writes this is a halacha that if the husband and wife are prohibited to each other through an isolav, so she doesn't drink the mesota. The Rambam does not give Rashi's reason. Rambam gives a different reason why it is that she doesn't drink the mesota, and from the Rambam it seems much more that this is a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan. The Rambam writes, let me present the Rambam. It's the second parak in Hilchos Sota. Hilchos Sota and Rambam is short, but the Rambam writes in the second parak that the reason why she doesn't drink the Mesota is because we learned earlier in the Masechta that the husband can only have his wife drink the Mesota if he is menuka mina avon, only if he's free and clear of sin. Right, like we discussed earlier, and actually the Mishnah is going to bring it up again. Let's say en route to the Beis Hamikdash they have relations. Right, so what do we know? We've said it before, we'll say it again today. We know that if they had relations while she was a sota, that's it. Maim can no longer be bodik. Maim no longer has the efficacy of determining whether she did or she did not have relations with the other man. Okay? So the Rambam says, no different over here. Meaning that they're living in sin. may write a mana to a Kohen Gadol, Grusha v'chalutz to Kohen Hedyot, a mamzer to a Bas Yisrael. They're living in sin. So he clearly is not Menucha Min HaAvon. So if he's not Menucha Min HaAvon, so the Mayim is not going to be Bodek. The Rambam says that's the reason why she can't drink the Mei Sota. Because just simply because the water is going to be ineffective. And if the water is ineffective, then there's no point in drinking. That's the Rambam's explanation. It's different than Rashi's. And I pointed out, it could be that the real fundamental difference between the Rambam and Rashi is whether this disqualification from her drinking is a din derabanan or is a din deraisa. That may be what's at root over here.
Didn't you learn before that an almana, the Kohen Gadol, also doesn't get her ksuva?
Is she going to forfeit her ksuva as well?
Yeah.
They're
discarding these marriages. So they
said, right, but over here, though, her argument could be, I didn't do anything wrong, meaning, oh, just from being an almana.
Right.
Interesting.
Because there are certain categories we learned that to discourage the marriage, it's
right,
like two ways.
Right, right. Okay, I hear you. I hear the point. Okay. I don't know. I don't have a prepared answer, so I don't know. So the elu, okay, that's step one of the mishnah. That's part one of the mishnah. This is a long mishnah. The elu lo shosos v'lo no lo ktuva. Now the mishnah here gives us a list of people who, women, I should say, who do not drink and also are going to forfeit the ktuva. Homer tameani. She says, okay, let me admit it. All right. There was kinu, there was tira, and she makes an admission. I was mezana in the room with that man. So at that point in time, she doesn't drink her mesota. There's no need to. We now know what happened, and on top of that, she forfeits her ksuva. Next, Shabbat La Edom, she eats tamayo. Witnesses come and say that she's tamayo. Now, truth be told, we learned this in the beginning of the Masecht as well. It doesn't even have to be a pair of witnesses. One witness would be sufficient, as we learned earlier in the Masecht. Next, Ha'amer Seni Shosa. She refuses to drink. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta, if she refuses to drink after the name was erased, so at that point in time, we force her to drink. But any time prior to that, if she says, look, I'm not drinking, this is not happening, that's basically tantamount to an admission, and as a result of that, she's not going to drink the Mesota, and she's going to forfeit her ksuba. Amar Bala Eni Mashke. What if the husband says, not what if, it's not a question. The Mishnah is giving another example, where she... Amar Bala Eni Mashke. So, if the husband says, I don't want her to drink, meaning the husband, after Kinoi, after Stira, they're heading to the base of Mikdash, and the husband says, you know what? I'm not interested in resolving. I'm not interested in amending. I don't want her to drink the Mesota. I will just divorce her and let that be the end of it. So the Mishnah says, under those circumstances, she's not going to drink. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about her ksuva in just a second. Shebala ba'ala baderech. Or if the husband en route to the Beis HaMikdash has relations with her. Now that's wrong. It's the husband's not allowed to have relations with her. So in those cases, just 1 second. In those cases, no los ksuva v'lo shosos. So the Mishnah says, under those circumstances, so she's not going to drink, and she does not forfeit her ksuva. She will receive her ksuva. Because in these last two cases, it's the husband who's preventing the resolution. So if the husband's the one preventing the resolution, so she's not going to get financially punished, she'll be able to keep her ksuva. Or not keep, but get her ksuva. Okay.
What about those Tamid Chachamim that were supposed to be escorting? So why were
they? Where were they? Not doing their job. I'm sorry for being harsh, but that seems to be the only conclusion. Mezu ba'alei mashalo shasu. Next case in the Mishnah. What if the husband dies before she drinks the mesota? Okay, so kinui, stira, headed to the base of Mikdash, and en route to the base of Mikdash, the husband drops dead. Now, under those circumstances, what happens? So, Beit Shammai Omrim no l'ksuva v'lo shosa. So, Beit Shammai says she gets to collect her ksuva, and she's not going to drink. Now, it's a given that she's not going to drink. Let's just make that clear. It's a given. In order for her to drink the mesota, you need a husband. Husband is part and parcel of the whole procedure, right? We've mentioned already a number of times in the Masechta. Yes, just yesterday, we made the Mishnah. Mishnah made a big deal about it. Husband, in fact, is the owner of the mincha, or at least a part owner of the mincha. You need a husband in order for her to drink the mesota. That's clear. So you don't have a husband now. He died, unfortunately. So the drinking is not even an option. The only issue now becomes, is she forfeiting her ksuva? So this is a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says she takes her ksuva. Beit Hillel says, now the wording of Beit Hillel is, O shosos olo no los ksuva. Either she drinks or she does not receive her ksuva. Now, it sounds like Beit Hillel is giving a choice, but we're going to learn in the Gemara, and we've said this already a number of times throughout Shas and Seder Nashim. What Beis Hillel really means is she's not, as long as she's not drinking, she's not getting her ksuva. And, oh, by the way, she's not drinking, which means that she's not going to get her ksuva. Okay, and later in the Gemara, not today, tomorrow, we're going to discuss what's the basis of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Stay tuned, that's coming up later.
It's not her doing that, right?
Later. It is her doing.
No.
She violated the kinui. You'll forgive me. She violated the kinui, she violated the stira.
No, but he died. That's not her doing.
That's not her doing. But what got us to that? What got us to this point? Raglaim Ladavar. She's under heavy suspicion, and she violated the kinui and the stira. Okay. Again, I'm oversimplifying a relationship and a marriage. You know, I've been in one now, I think, for 20 years, right, roughly. I understand everything's not that simple, but I'm just saying, just from the right, where the in terms of the determination of yes, forfeit ksuva, no forfeit ksuva. So, just some basic facts on the ground. There was kinui, there was stira. She violated both. Okay. So, muberes chaver menekes chavera. This one's interesting. Again, we've discussed this before in Seder Nashim. A woman is unfortunately either divorced or widowed, and she's either pregnant or nursing. The halacha goes like this. Halacha is that she should not take a new husband until after 24 months of nursing. And the reason being is because the Chachamim were worried that what's going to happen in within those 24 months, if she does get married, she'll get pregnant again. It'll terminate her production of milk. And as far as the baby, the husband is not going to be that sympathetic because it's not his baby. The one from the previous husband. So he's not going to be that sympathetic, and the Chachamim were concerned about the welfare of the baby. So the Chachamim therefore said that if a man is interested in marrying a widow or divorcee who's either pregnant or nursing, you gotta wait 24 months. In other words, 24 months is the given time, is the expected time that nursing occurs, and so therefore the Chachamim banned a man from marrying a woman until the baby is turned 24 months old, 2 years old. Okay, that's a din de rabbanan, a takana de rabbanan to protect the welfare of the baby. The Mishnah says, a muberes chaver manikas chaver. What if a man violated this and he married a woman too early? Okay, a year after she had a baby, man marries her. So, and then, just to make this more of a soap opera, then she's with another man, he warns her not to be with that man, she secludes herself with that man, we have an entire soap opera right now. So, but in terms of the Mishnah, what's the halacha? Lo shosos v'lo not los ksuva, divrei Rabbi Meir. So the Mishnah says that this is a machlokas. Rav Meir says she's not drinking the mesota, and she's not collecting her ksuva. Chitas Rebbe Meir. Chachamim Amrim, Yachol Hu, Lafrisho, Ulach Zero, Lachrezman. And the Chachamim say, this isn't, yes, the husband was wrong in marrying her too early. But don't call this marriage an Eina Ru'uy Lakaima. The marriage is sanctioned, he just married her prematurely. But in other words, if they separated, now by separation, what exactly do we mean? Do we mean that he actually has to divorce her? Or separation over here just simply is understood on the most literal level, they just simply separate. Okay? There's discussion about this as well. But for our purposes, the basic idea is, he shouldn't have married her that early, but the marriage is not an unlawful, the marriage itself, him and her are not unlawful together. He just married her too early. He should have waited. So the Chachamim therefore say, this is a valid enough marriage where if she turns into a sota, she's going to drink the mesota. Next. Let's say she is either unable to have a child, she just simply does not have the physiology, the anatomy to have a child, or is a keno, or she's just simply too old to have a child, or she ain't a ruy leilaid, or she's not fit to have a child. Lo not los ksuva velo shosos. So here, a man marries her, so she does not drink, and she also is going to be forfeiting her ksuva as well. Huh? Yeah, good question. Rashi says. Rashi's explanation here. First of all, in Rui Leilaid, Rashi says that... that Rashi writes Shashasos Kosi Karin, right? She has the equipment, unlike the islanders, but she's just simply using some sort of drugs of the time, whatever the drug du jour was at the time. She made herself infertile. Under those circumstances, she's not going to drink and she's going to forfeit a ksuva. Rashi writes Shashasos Kosi Karin Vasuris Lekaima. Rashi says he should not have married her. Because that we know that men have an obligation in Peru Revu. Women don't have an obligation. Okay. Hard to fulfill the mitzvah without women. I think we can go even beyond that. More.
Don't we have the obligation to populate the earth?
No. The women don't have the mitzvah Peru Revu, but obviously they. He married a woman that, and he had the mitzvah per revu. It's an unlawful marriage, and therefore it's ainu lekaima, and so therefore she's not going to drink. In terms of her forfeiture of the ksuva, so stay tuned. We're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss that as well. Okay.
The one who's pregnant, does she have to drink the mitzvah at that time? She's
usher to him. She's usher to them at that time, but okay, you're right. But the isser is not a perpetual isser. In other words, the isser is only for the time being.
No, right, but that's what I mean.
But during the, you're asking during that time being.
During that, when she drinks the
medicine. I don't know.
Because then she has two
isser. All right. Okay. I don't know. Rabbi Lazar Omer, and by the way, just I'm thinking out loud. If she didn't commit adultery and she drinks the mesota, that means she's going to get pregnant, which is exactly what the Chachamim didn't want. Okay, good. It's a good question. I don't know. So Rabbi Lazar Omer Yachol Lisa Isha Acheres V'Lifros Lirbos Emeno, and on this Rabbi Lazar says, look, he married a woman that can't have children. Okay, and he has a mitzvah peruvu. Okay. The Torah certainly encourages monogamous relationship. I say encourages, by the way. In other words, the Torah for sure allows more than one wife. But if you look at the success rate of marriages in the Torah, you'll find that, generally speaking, multiple wives in the Torah always creates issues. Right? Can I say that without any reservation? I mean, it's pretty ubiquitous in the Torah. Right, and I'm even moving now even ahead in Nevi'im, that when there's more than one wife, there's issues. Okay, anyway.
Sorry.
Okay, good. So the point being is that Rabbi Lazar says you married a woman who can't produce children. Okay, you marry another woman who can produce children. Meaning there's nothing unlawful about this marriage per se. The problem is that she's not going to help you fulfill the mitzvah per revu. Okay, so you get a second wife. So Rabbi Lazar says this woman can't drink the mesota. Now, then the Mishnah makes a general statement, and that is for all other women out there. Meaning if you have not been covered in this Mishnah so far, meaning you're just a regular woman who, unfortunately, didn't behave properly, right? Had a kinui, violated the kinui, was associated with a man. So at this point in time, your options are either you're going to drink the mesota or you're just simply going to forfeit your ksuba. Okay. Ashes Kohen Shoseh. The Mishnah then goes on. The wife of a Kohen is going to drink. Okay. The Gemara is going to ask later on, not today. Seems to be obvious. Meaning, what else did you think? Meaning she's the Ashes Kohen, she's the wife of a Kohen. Okay, she was again with another man, husband warned her not to be. She secluded herself with that other man. She'll drink the mesota. Either she committed adultery and she'll die, or she didn't commit adultery and she'll just go back to her husband. What else would you have thought? The Gemara's going to ask that question. Aisha's going shosa muteris labala. Aisha's sris shosa. Excuse me. The wife of a sris. He cannot have children. He's physically unable to have children. She's going to drink the mesota. Rashi points out over here, what you have to say is that he became a sris after they got married. Meaning at one point in time during the marriage, he was not a sris. Rashi says you have to say that because we're going to learn later on that the halach of sota is only when the husband first had relations with the woman before the alleged other man. So if the orders are reversed, the mesotas are going to be ineffective. So in order to have this discussion about the sris, it has to be, this is what Rashi says, it has to be where he was able to have relations with her at the beginning of the marriage, and then illness, whatever occurred that turned him into a sris over the course of the marriage. But still, point being is that she is eligible to drink the mesota. Ayudei kol arayus mikanen chutz menakata mimisha eno ish. Mishnah is a very interesting halacha. Kinui can be effective even to someone who is an erva to her. So, for example, no, this is going to sound strange, but let's say she's spending too much time with her father, and her own father, and the husband says to her, okay, that's too much time with your father. And he issues a formal and official warning not to seclude herself with her own father. And she violates that warning, so the kinuin steer is going to be effective.
Isn't kinuin like a form like a shuvah? Like you bring something like that, then you cannot.
No.
But an old somebody that already has supported by mitzvah?
No. No. Okay, it's strange. And by the way, it's at this point in the Mishnah where we can point out that the stira by the sota, right? She secludes herself with that man, right? We know that there's another issur in the Torah called issur yichud, right? And sometimes what we do is that we blend the two together, we conflate the two together. Meaning, what's stira? She's alone. She's secluded with another man. What's yichud? You're secluded with a person you shouldn't be secluded with. And sometimes we conflate the two and we say, you know, it's basically the same. It's clear from this point in the Mishnah, they're not the same. Meaning, they're similar, but they're not the same. There's no Isser Yichud of a woman with her own father. Right? There's certainly no Isser Yichud. Right? They're traveling, and they could stay in the same room together. There's no Isser Yichud of a woman and her father. And meanwhile, what we're learning now in our Mishnah is that if the husband is feeling that she's spending too much time with her father, and he warns her, and she secludes, so that's a violation of the stira, even though there's no Isser Yichud.
Same thing with brother also?
All Arayos. The Mishnah says, Ayidei kol Arayos.
Huh?
A brother and sister can be miyachet together. Yeah?
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. I think so.
On our experience, we had a brother and sister of a rabbi, and the rabbi didn't allow them to be.
Let's talk after. Okay, fine. So I can look it up. But okay. So they call arayos mekanen chutz min hakatan mimishei eno ish, except for somebody who is a minor and somebody who is not a man. They are excluded from kinui and stira. And again, the Gemara is going to discuss that. Ve'elu shebeitha mekanen lahen. Okay, and continuing in the Mishnah, I know it's a very long Mishnah. Ve'elu shebeitha mekanen lahen. Now, in the absence of the husband, Beis Din can also provide a kinui. This is where it gets even more interesting. Where the husband, you would have thought, I would have thought, kinui can only be issued, the warning can only be issued by the husband. And now we're learning in the Mishnah, not necessarily. Beis Din could do so as well. Mishnah is charish ba'alah u'shnishtato sh'aya chavush beveis ha'asurim. Either the husband was turned into a deaf mute, so he just verbally could not issue a warning. It's interesting. You maybe could have considered that the warning could be issued in some other form of communication. But, okay, maybe so. O nishtate, or the husband becomes insane. O shaya chavush beveis asurim, or he was locked up in jail. So the Beis Din can now issue the warning. Says the Mishnah, lo lahashkosa. Now, this warning is not going to result in her drinking the mesota. And that's not why Beis Din is going to do it. Why is Beis Din going to do it? Mishnah says, lo lashkosa amru ela, the posam iksuvasa. But rather, it's just a disqualifier from the ksuva. Meaning her husband right now is either mentally or physically out to lunch, and the husband right now is just simply not in a position where he can warn her, but she's behaving in an immodest fashion. So Beis Din can come in and Beis Din can say, okay, we're now issuing you a kinui, an official warning. You're not going to drink the sota because you need the husband to issue a warning for that. But what will happen, however, is that if you violate this warning, you're going to forfeit your ksuva. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Aflash Kosa, Lechesheyet Zebala, Mi Beis Asurim Yashkena. And Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yossi goes one step further. This warning issued by the Beis Din can in fact materialize into her drinking the Mesota. Now, you can't drink it without the husband, but what Rabbi Yossi is arguing, not arguing, his position is that when the husband finally gets out of jail, and Beis Din already issued the kinui, and she violated the kinui, now the husband, without having to go now through the kinui and steer, because that was done already, can take her to the Beis HaMikdash and have her drink the Meis Sota. And again, we're going to discuss this later as well. Okay, that was a long Mishnah.
But there is no principle.
All right, so good.
Isn't this like similar to that?
Well, I go the other way.
You think it's
meaning? I mean, I was going to argue that. Apparently, he didn't like it. I can hear in your tone, but I was going to argue that this is Zachon LaAdam Shelo B'Fanav. Now, I understand this is not like a zchus like getting money. this is much more complicated. I know. I understand that, but I would have argued that.
They're basically meaning the guy chayav to possibly bring carbon, right?
Well, there's a carbon issue, and then there is also the issue that. The marriage is going to go in one of two directions, right? But it's not going to stay at the current state in which it's at. I hear you. Okay. So far, that is the Mishnah. So, what basically we have spent this morning doing in this Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the fourth parak of the Masechta, is that we have gone over so many different permutations of scenarios in which the kinu and stira is valid, but she's not going to drink. The kinu and stira is valid, she's not going to drink, and she's going to forfeit her ksuva. The kinu and stira are valid, she's not going to drink, and she's not going to forfeit her ksuva. And depending on multiple variables that are provided in the Mishnah, so we are we just got to go keep going over the Mishnah again and again to keep in line what will be the result of a kinu and stira under all these different circumstances. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, because you know how the Gemara operates. The Gemara analyzes the Mishnah Keseder. And so going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, we talked about the Arus and the Shemeres Yavam. What did the Mishnah teach us when it comes to the Arus and the Shemeres Yavam? They don't drink the Mesota, they don't take their Ksuva, they forfeit their Ksuva. But what also is implicit in the Mishnah is that yes, there is a kinu and yes, there's a stira. And those have validity. And the Gemara now hits exactly that point. Mishtahu de lo shasya, the Arusa and the Shomeres Yavam are not going to be drinking, however, hakane mekanila. But the warning and her seclusion, which violated the warning, are going to be effective. Minahanimilian, how do we know this? Where does this come from? It's a limited exclusion. Why? How do we arrive there? Tanu Rabban, the Gemara says, Dabri Rabban Esav Amarta. Now the Bach adds in a word because really the drasha comes in from the next word in the pasuk, which is left out of the Gemara, but the Amarta Alehem. And you will say to them. So the Amarta Alehem means, and you will say to them, well, who else are you going to say it to? What's the Aleim coming to do? We're coming to include the Arusa and the Shemeres Yavam, which means that when issuing a warning, not only is the warning effective for your full-fledged wife, but even for your quasi-wife, meaning your Arusa and your Shemeres Yavam. Those are two examples of a quasi-wife. So, Lekinu Yemasifza Mani Rabbi Yonasan Hiditanya. And furthermore, the Mishnah, the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yonasan Hiditanya. The Gemara introduces us now to a Braisa, and the Braisa goes as follows. Tachasi Sheikh. The Torah says that in order to invoke the procedure of Meisota, it has to be Tachasi Sheikh, under your husband. Meaning you and her are husband and wife. Prat La'arusa. That's an exclusion for Arusa. Yachol Shani Motzi, Av Shemeres Yavam. What about excluding a Shemeres Yavam as well? Tamar Lomar, Ish Ish. The Torah says Ish Ish. Ish Ish is an inclusion of the Shemeres Yavam, Divrei Rav Yoshia. So, according to Rav Yoshia, split decision. The Arusa is not going to drink the Mesota. The Shomeres Yavam is going to drink the Mesota, according to Rav Yoshia. Rav Yonasan Omer Tachasi Sheikh Prat LaShomeres Yavam. And Rav Yonasan says that the Tachasi Sheikh is an exclusion to the Shomeres Yavam. Otsi Shomeres Yavam Velo Otsi Es Arusa. So I'll exclude the Shomeres Yavam. I'm not going to exclude the Arusa. Tamalomar Asher Tiste Isha Tachasi Isha Prat LaRusa. To that, Rav Yonasan says, I have another pasuk that tells me that we are excluding the Arusa as well. So, in this braisa, okay, let me see if we can just organize this information well. We have an inclusion, a ribui, we have an exclusion, we have a miyut. What are we including? What we're including is the Vamarta Alehem is including Shemeres Yavam and Arusa, that they can be subject to kinu and stira, meaning the warning is going to be effective. Their violation of the warning, which will now make them a sota, that also will be effective. That's what they're included. Now, what are they excluded from? So on that, there's a machlokus between the Tanayim. Rav Yoshi is of the opinion that the Shomeris Yavam is the Arusa is going to be excluded from the drinking, but the Shomeris Yavam is not going to be excluded from the drinking. According to Rav Yoshia, a Shomeris Yavam, when issued the Kino and Stira, we can even go one step further, she can even drink the Mesot according to Rav Yoshia. Rav Yonah, son of the Brisa, says no. They are both included in the Kino and Stira, and they are both excluded from the drinking the Mesot. And as to the question of why, the answer here is very simple. Psukim, drashas. According to Rabbi Yonasan, one drasha, the tachas ishech is coming to exclude Shomeris Yavam, and the pasuk of Asher Tiseh Isha tachas Isha is to exclude the Arusa as well. Okay, and now the Gemara gives an understanding of how they arrived at their particular drashas. Mar alima le'arusa dekedushi didei v'sokan al yado. So as far as one opinion, and then when we say one opinion, we mean now Rabbi Yonasan. So Rabbi Yonasan says that as far as an arusa or a shomeris yavam, who is halachically more your wife? Who is more connected to her man? The Arusa or the Shomeris Yavam? So Rav Yonasan argues, really it's the Arusa. The Arusa is more connected. Why? Number one, he gives two arguments over here. So number one, the first argument is Kedusha Didei. I chose her. I was Mekadosh her. Right? This was not a Shidduch that was made Min HaShemayim. I chose her. Number one. Number two, Soklan Al Yadon. If an Arusa's Mizana during her stage of Arusin, that's adultery. Let's say it's a chiv misa bidei adam. So the arusa is more of a marriage than shomeris yavam. So the kedushi today v'sokan al yado umar alim alei shomeris yavam. So and as far as Rabbi Yoshi is concerned, no, a shomeris yavam is more your wife than that of an arusa. Why? Because by Erisin, how do you move from Erisin to Nisuin? There's a process. It's called Mesir L'Chopa, whatever that may be. Rishonim debate exactly what that is. But what we know for sure is it's a process. It's not a organic transition to go from Erisin to Nisuin. It doesn't happen just on its own. But in other words, it's a process that needs to happen. Masha Einkein, to go from Shomeris Yavam to full-fledged wife, no Masir L'Chuppah. They're intimate with one another. That's it. That's the transition. It is more organic, it's more natural to go from Shomeris Yavam to Isha than it is from Arusa to Nisuin. So therefore, Rabbi Yoshia says that the Shomeris Yavam is more connected. Okay, that's the Gemara says fundamentally that's really what's the behind the scenes machlokus between Rav Yonasan and Rav Yoshia. The Gemara then goes on to do our basic accounting. What is each Tana going to do with the other Tana's pasuk? Okay, this is a classic discussion in the Gemara. Gemara continues. Rav Yonasan, hi ish my avid lay. According to Rav Yonasan, what do you do with the extra ish? We buy. It's coming to include the wife of a cheresh, the wife of a shota, the wife of someone who's insane, someone who's deranged. Even though the husband is no longer a bar das, he does not have his wits about him. Nevertheless, they're going to go through the process of the maid sota. V'rabbi Yoshia. Hi, Tachas Isha, my Avilei. Now, according to Rav Yoshia, what do you do with the Tachas Isha? Because remember, according to Rav Yoshia, he only darshins one of the exclusions. He doesn't darshan the other exclusion. What does he do with Tachas Isha? So, Mibayle lahakish ish l'isha v'isha l'ish. So, to create a hekish between the two. And Rashi points out, when we get to the end of this perek, we're going to understand, and what does that hekish actually accomplish? So, Rashi says, stay tuned. When we get to the end of the perek, we'll understand the hekish. Ela time d'ksiva hanikrai, the Gemara says now, fascinating. Without the psukim, without the drashas, what was the assumption, right? With every drash, let me not make that point yet. Okay, the Gemara says that the arusa is excluded, meaning that the full position is, we would have had the arusa drinking. Gemara says, really? On the other hand, we know that the only way the mesota is effective is only when the husband first had relations with his wife, and then and only then the other man had or allegedly had relations with a wife. But if the orders are reversed, the mesota simply doesn't work. In other words, first you need intimacy between husband and wife, then an alleged extramarital relations, then and only then the mesota work. It's certainly not true by the arusa. Now, I'll say this parenthetically and really under my breath. For the arusa, it is certainly possible. Certainly possible that he could be Mekadosh or Bebiya.
In Judah, they did that, right? In Judah, trust that.
Well. Yehuda's really connected to the Gemara's answer. I'm right now just whispering under my breath that there is a means of a man being Mekadosh a woman, Bibia, but the Gemara in the beginning of Kedushin says that the Chachamim really frowned upon that, even though the Torah allows it, right? The Gemara over there in the beginning of Kedushin, Rav Mangit Amand Mekadosh Bibia. Rav gave Malkus to someone who was Mekadosh Bibia. So truth be told, yes, it's possible, but it's really not sanctioned by the Chachamim. So I think I'm speculating a little bit right now. That's why the Gemara doesn't even mention it. In the meantime, however, what is the Gemara's answer? Okay, now back to full volume. Amarami Barchama Mishkachla Kigon Shabbalah Arus Bevesavia. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll have to say over here, in order to understand the Mishnah scenario, in which, again, at least theoretically she's drinking the Mesota, How can that work? You first have to have relations between husband and wife. Then and only then does the mesota, at least in theory, could work. The Gemara says, yeah, you know, they had relations during Erisin. And as Ben pointed out, which is in fact right, the Mishnah and Ksuva says, then Yehuda, that was the minhag. Okay, so the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you the problem with this answer. And that is, are you going to say the same thing by Shomeres Yavam? That during her time while she was waiting to be a Yavam, waiting for marriage, so the Yavam came over and they had relations. Gemara says, that's not going to work. Why is that not going to work? Because once they have relations, she's no longer Shomeres Yavam. They're now married. So, and in fact, we know, right, this is a major machlokas in Yavamos, but when a Yavam has relations with his Yavama, and even though there was no intent for marriage, according to Rav, doesn't matter. The consequence of relations between a Yavam and Yavama is that it creates full-fledged marriage. So that answer, although works for the Arusa, is not going to work for the Shomeres Yavam. There's no way the Yavam can have relations with her without it actually transitioning into husband and wife. So the Gemara says, Kishmol da'amar lo kana elo dvarim hamorim beparsha. So the Gemara says, well, you could argue that our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Shmuel, where Shmuel says that if a Yavam has relations with a Yavama, and without the intent of turning this into a marriage, it then becomes a limited marriage. I know that sounds funny.
This extends to the Mion also, when the Mion become an adult.
I know, right, I know. I know it sounds funny, but Shmuel's position is that for Yerusha, for Chalitza, they're married, but it's not a full marriage. So, and the Gemara says, now what you're doing is, now you're basically pigeonholing Rav and Shmuel to one Tana's viewpoint. And as we've seen time and again throughout the Gemara, we never like to do that. Never like to have Rav go like one Tana and Shmuel go like the other Tana. Amlecha Rav Anadami Afilu Rabbi Yonasan. And Rav will say like this, look, here's my position. That a bia between a Yavam and a Yavama creates a full-fledged marriage. And my position could be even like Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan says that both an Arusa and a Shomeres Yavam are excluded from drinking. So it's, in fact, Rabbi Yonasan is actually proof to my position. Meaning, what does the Torah have to go out of its way? The Torah has to go out of its way to say that the Shomer Yavam is not going to drink. Ah, without that, what would have been the default had it not been for the Torah's exclusion? It would the default would be that they are lawfully husband and wife. In fact, Rav will say, if anything, Rabbi Yonasan proves my point. And Ushmul Amar Anadamri Afilu Rabbi Yoshia. And Shmuel can now argue the following. I hold like Rabbi Yoshia. Midi Itzer Kralu Ribuye, because